So, the passage that we've looked at today, from kind of Genesis 42 to 44, please read it for yourselves. Hopefully, my kind of dramatization of it earlier gave you the thread of what's going on. There's lots of detail in those three chapters to pore over in terms of what was said and what unfolded. But we're doing this kind of, I guess, chapter from Joseph's life in two pieces. This week's called Part 1, How to Mend Family Relationships. And next week's, very imaginatively called Part 2, of How to Mend Family Relationships. But it feels a bit like a dramatic chord in a piece of music next week. And this week's all about the kind of crescendo building. There's momentum as the drama unfolds, but actually the rousing finale and what's actually needed to mend family relationships doesn't actually get revealed until next week in chapter 45 and 6. So I'm going to bring out this morning what I think are some helpful things to talk about in terms of mending family relationships, but the kind of key to unlock it is really held within Mike's piece next week, and you know, many of you will link the dots together to work out that actually it's about forgiveness. Yeah, and that's what happens in the next couple of chapters. So it's really the passage we're looking at from Genesis 42 to 44 is kind of a bit of the scene setting around the dynamic of what was happening when the Joseph's brothers met him again. Someone once told this story. A number of years ago, in a small town in Spain, a man and his teenage son had an argument. Nothing remarkable about that, really, is that, you know, teenagers sometimes have arguments with their parents and vice versa. But the falling out led to deep feelings of bitterness and unforgiveness on both sides. And the son had soon left, decided he wanted to go and find work in the city. Well, his dad regretted the way he treated his son and began to search for him. And after several months, he still hadn't been able to locate his son. What was he to do? Well, it's sort of a last-ditch effort, I guess. He placed an advert in the classified section of a newspaper in Madrid. And the details of this story kind of lead me to think that there's truth in this. Anyway, the classified ad read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on this date. All's forgiven. I love you. Your father." Well, 12 o'clock came on the date given, and not only was there one Paco outside that office, there were dozens of Pacos outside that newspaper office, every one of them seeking reconciliation with their father. I guess the purpose of telling that story is to kind of reinforce the point, really, that mending relationships in a family setting isn't an uncommon occurrence. Something that we all relate to, isn't it? And while the kind of drama of Joseph's story, we might not relate to, you know, some of the extraordinary elements of Joseph's life as it unfolded, there are many aspects of kind of the brokenness of the relationships in that family that I'm sure we do all relate to. If we cast our minds back to when we started looking at the lives of Jacob and his sons, you'll remember that Mike sort of took us through some of the aspects of their life, which was kind of quite dysfunctional, really. This backdrop of words here is just kind of, you can get these little software packages that take text that you throw at it from chapters, and it says these are all this is the theme of what's going on in this bit of text, and this bit of text is about Joseph, his father, his brothers. It's about money and food and Benjamin. There's lots going on in these chapters, but just taking you back to where we started from in terms of looking at the dysfunctional family that was Jacob and sons. And these were some of the things that came out of that original few chapters on Joseph and his brothers and their dad, what was going on in the family, favoritism, sarcasm, smugness, hatred, special treatment. There was deceit going on, meanness, jealousy. You know, things weren't good, were they? Things weren't good. And Mike kind of took this and said, well, you know, what's needed in that family environment to kind of move things forward, to restore? And the honest answer, when you look at what you've got in front of you there, is really that transformation is needed. You know, these are some character traits in a family that need transformation in order to restore. And then we looked at the fact that through transformation, impartiality, humility, love, fairness, honesty and kindness were needed to replace those things that were so broken about the relationships between Jacob and his sons. So, mending relationships. A few things that I wanted to bring out from this passage, I guess, this morning. The first of which is that, I guess it goes without saying, that mending relationships can sometimes be painful. You know, past hurts that we think we've dealt with can come to the surface again, triggered by circumstances. You know, Joseph, he talks about in the end of chapter 41, he talks about the fact that he's got two children from the wife that he's been given by Pharaoh. And the first child he names Manasseh. And he names that child Manasseh because he said, it's because God has made me forget all my trouble and my father's household. So Joseph's got to the point in life, he was 17 when he was sold into slavery. He's now probably getting on for 40. So 23 years on from the original point, his brothers turn up. It's a long time. He's got to the point where he's said that God's enabled me to forget all my troubles, to forget all my father's household, to forget my father, to forget my siblings. And yet his brothers walk into the room, and all of a sudden, as a realization of what is still very, very deep seated in Joseph, in terms of the pain of having to relive those past events when his brothers turn up. He may have forgotten them, but no doubt they all came flooding back to him when his brothers turned up. He starts hearing, he not only sees his brothers, but he starts hearing his brothers talk about how they feel about what they did to him. He was listening to them in his mother tongue. They were completely unaware of who he was. They were talking openly about him. They were talking openly about the fact that they grieved the fact that the way they treated him. You know, how Joseph must have felt, you know, deeply pained inside, listening to what they were saying. You know, he was overcome with emotion, wasn't he? Hearing them talk about their guilt. It stirred deep inside of him. I wonder how often Joseph's brothers wondered about Joseph's fate. You know, how often they wondered about what had become of Joseph when they'd sold him on. They found themselves weighed down with guilt again, though, didn't they? When they kind of thought, well, maybe what's happening to us now, this kind of dark phase in our lives when we appear to be beset with trouble going to Egypt, maybe that's something to do with the guilt of the past, 20-something years on from what had happened. Joseph's brothers were stirred themselves to look again in the mirror and try and reconcile themselves to their actions, their kind of ongoing deception of their father. You know, they deceived their father, Jacob, for all these years, never told him really what happened. Jacob was just still under the illusion that his son had been torn to pieces. Jacob assumed his father was dead. His brothers knew, they didn't know he was Joseph was still alive, but they knew that what they told their father wasn't really what happened. And they carried that all these years. They were weighed down with the things that had happened to them. And that family relationship needed to be resolved. There needed to be reconciliation. There needed to be restoration. But it was going to be painful, and it was painful for Joseph listening to them, painful for Joseph to have to bring himself back to that place of understanding, seeing his brothers in front of him. Mending relationships needs to be intentional. I guess, you know, given the scenario before him, Joseph could have thought to himself, well, maybe now's the time to get my own back. See how they feel when they're on the receiving end for a change. You know, he was in this position of supreme power in Egypt, but he didn't abuse that power. He didn't abuse the power of office, which, you know, let's be honest, we so often see around us people abusing the power of office. But Joseph, man of God, acts with integrity, doesn't he? He wants to see whether his brothers' hearts have changed. You know, reading the passage, you think, well, why is Joseph going through all this rigmarole of sending them back without Benjamin? Sorry, sending them back to get Benjamin, coming back, then tricking them into, taking the silver cup and Benjamin being sort of identified out that way. But I don't know. Well, maybe Joseph was just looking for signs that their hearts had changed, looking for some kind of glimpse of restoration on their part, that they weren't the same brothers that had done him over all those years back, that he was looking for some kind of sign that, you know, things could be moved towards the point of restoration. Joseph was intentional about his actions. He's the one who makes the move. It might seem a bit convoluted, but it was Joseph was the one who was making the move. He could have decided to actually, I don't want to go there. I don't want to really enter into any kind of reconciliation with my brothers. I just want to leave that and just assume that our paths will go separate ways again. But he didn't, did he? He took the harder path, realizing that he was going to have to tell them who he was. He was going to have to move towards reconciliation. It was no longer a time to hide away from what was kind of in the past. And, mending relationships is about, ultimately, forgiveness. But that's kind of safe for next week, so I'm not going to talk about forgiveness. Although it's implicit, isn't it, obviously, in restoration. But what I am going to talk about is the fact that mending relationships it's enabled through love, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. And any theme there? It's the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? Galatians 5. Where do we see in this passage Joseph acting out of love? I think we do see him acting out of love. Although maybe it's not overt, but in terms of the way he deals with his brothers, love is at the core. He is peaceful. At no point does he, you know, use anything other than a kind of a patient, peaceful approach with his brothers. He's kind to them, ultimately. You might say, well, you know, he threw them in jail for a few days. Well, how was that kind? But I guess in the context of everything that had gone before, his actions towards his brothers was actually kind. He was self-controlled as well. There was no real malice or rage, although he obviously said to them some fairly unusual things. In terms of accusing them of being spies and accusing them of, you know, theft of the cup, but it was he wasn't ultimately going to use that against them. He was just trying to test them, really, just trying to test them to see where they were. I was thinking earlier as we were singing that Wren Collective song, "My Lighthouse." I wonder if Joseph dwelt on those, on the lyrics of that song, what he would make of that, and whether it would resonate with him. The lyrics read, "In my resting and in my doubts, in my failures, you don't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You're the peace in my troubled sea. In the questions, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning, I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through." That was Joseph's song, wasn't it? I know it's not Joseph's song, but it was his song. He was, you know, so in tune with God's plan for his life through all the trouble that was going on, that he was able to see a way towards reaching out to his brothers to start the painful process of trying to mend their relationships. You know, if we remind ourselves what that family looked like, hatred, smugness, sarcasm, favoritism, jealousy, deceit, meanness, people being treated specially. There was an awful lot to unpick, wasn't there? An awful lot that had kind of been buried for 20-odd years, and it wasn't going to be fixed overnight. And yet, through the transforming nature of God at work in Joseph, through the fruit of the Spirit working in him, there was hope, wasn't there, that there was going to be a transformative end to their family lives. Humility, praise, love, impartiality, honesty and kindness would characterise the way they dealt with each other. But there was a long way to go. It was going to be painful. Joseph was being intentional. And I guess his brothers are going to have to be intentional as well when they realise actually that it's their brother in front of them. And they're going to have to work through it. They're going to have to work through this to get to a point where their relationships have been mended. So how does this talk to us this morning? Many of us, you know, may well have been in situations where relationships have been in need of being mended, and it's been painful for us. Maybe it's been painful for us and we haven't been able to bring ourselves to the point of facing up to those issues, or maybe it's been painful working through restoring those relationships. You know, maybe we haven't been intentional enough about trying to resolve those, that brokenness that's there. But I guess, you know, the hope this morning, the hope that's there is that through the work of the Spirit, through the fruits of the Spirit, there is a way to mend relationships with our family that's broken. You know, through love and peace, through acting through kindness, you know, there is hope for restoration. There's hope for reconciliation. And, you know, this is part one. There's part two follows, which is all about forgiveness. And while we were at New Wine this year, the great speaker, R.T. Kendall, was there. And he was speaking on... I was rather disappointed, actually, when I read what the passages we were allocated this morning. I thought, oh, yeah, okay, R.T. Kendall's preached a great sermon on forgiveness. And that's what we'll be able to pick up on in this passage this morning. But no, that's next week. So I'll encourage Mike to listen to the sermon that we listened to from R.T. Kendall, talking about the power of forgiveness and what it means to truly forgive and how that's sort of characterised. But just this morning, thinking about relationships, the need for relationships to be mended. Maybe this has been painful this morning because it's prompted thoughts about relationships which aren't great. Maybe they're not characterized by it in the same way that the relationships that Jacob and son's family life was characterized by, but maybe there's relationships with close family that isn't great, that's painful to deal with. Wonder how it's going to be reconciled, restored. It'll be great to be able to pray with you about that this morning before you go your merry way. Be great to spend time just asking for God's grace and more of his love and peace, patience and kindness, just to fill your conversations and to fill your emotional and mental being when you're thinking about how to move things forward. But ultimately we can pray for your relationships to be mended, and God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. But most of the time, it does require us to actually do something about it and to be intentional about actually moving things forward. It does require us to take steps. And maybe that's something that, it's been too difficult to come to terms with the need to be able to step out in that way. Maybe God's challenging you to actually, you know what, I need to do something about these relationships which aren't in a great place. I need to make some moves forward. So I think we're going to sing again this morning, and then there'll be some guys who'll be in the corner at the back of the service who'll be just delighted to pray with you. Anything this morning has kind of maybe touched a raw nerve or encouraged you, challenged you, that there are things that I need to be doing, actually just to share, you know, what's on your heart, we'd love to pray with you. But I'm just going to pray now before Hazel comes up and leads us on. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it's a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways, Lord. And sometimes we find it cutting into us. We find it identifying things in our lives which we haven't perhaps got sorted out, Lord, as we need to. Things that we need to move on with. Things that we need your help to move forward, help to restore and reconcile us, Lord, because we're unable to do it ourselves and we need your strength. Lord, we recognise that we fall short of the mark and we need to be filled, Lord, with your spirit to enable us to be able to do your will in the relationships, Lord, that we have, Lord, with family and with friends, Lord, that aren't the way they should be. I just pray, Lord, that you would enable us, Lord, to be your hands and feet and to be able to show your love and peace and to be patient and kind, Lord, and to be self-controlled and intentional, Lord, when we need to act towards restoring and mending relationships which are broken. Lord, we give you our relationships and pray for your blessing on them, Lord. Pray for your restoration. Pray for your help, Lord, when things are difficult and painful and we find it difficult to know what to do, Lord, how to move things forward, what to say. But, Lord, we know you're there, Lord, beside us, carrying us through the storms of life, showing us the way, if only we'd listen, to help us to listen to you, Lord, and help us to be humble enough, Lord, to accept that we need the support and fellowship of others around us, Lord, to enable us sometimes when we just need just encouragement to step out ourselves. So, Lord, we thank you again for your word. Pray that you would bless it to us today and going forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
So there's tea, coffee after.